In my adoptive father, I observed mildness of temper and unchangeable resolution in the things that he had determined upon after due deliberation, and no vain glory in those things that men call honours, and a love of labour and perseverance, and a readiness to listen to those who had anything to propose for the common good, and undeviating firmness in giving to every man according to his deserts, and a knowledge derived from experience of when to act vigorously and when to let be. And I observed that he had overcome all passion for boys, and he considered himself no more than any other citizen, and he released his entourage from all obligation to dine with him or to attend him of necessity when he went abroad, and those who had failed to accompany him by reason of any urgent circumstances always found him the same in his favour towards them. I observed, too, his habit of careful inquiry in council meetings, his persistency, that he never dropped his investigation out of being satisfied with first appearances, and his disposition to keep his friends, being neither soon tired of them nor extravagant in his affection, and his self-mastery and cheerfulness, and his ability to see things coming from a long way off, and his discreet provision for the smallest detail, and his immediate check on public applause and all flattery, and his watchfulness over the things which were necessary for the administration of the empire, and his good management of expenditure, and his patience in putting up with the blame that he got for such conduct. He was neither cravenly superstitious with respect to the gods, nor did he court men by gifts or by trying to please them, or by winning the support of the populace, but he showed sobriety in all things and firmness, and never a small-minded thought or action, nor love of novelty. And the things that make life comfortable and of which fortune gave him an abundant supply, he used without arrogance and without excusing himself, so that when he had them he enjoyed them without affectation, and when he had them not, he did not regret their absence. No one could ever say of him that he was a sophist or a jumped-up nobody or a pedant, but everyone acknowledged him to be a man of matured understanding, above flattery, able to manage his own and other men's affairs. Besides this, he honoured those who were true philosophers, and he did not reproach those who pretended to be philosophers, nor yet was he easily led by them. He was also easy in conversation, and he made himself agreeable without any offensive affectation. He took a reasonable care of his body's health, not as one who was greatly attached to life, nor out of regard to personal appearance, nor yet in a careless way, but so that through his own attention he very seldom stood in need of the physician's art or medicine or external applications. He was most ready to defer without envy to those who possessed a particular skill, such as eloquence or knowledge of the law or of ethics or some such specialism, and he gave them his help that each might enjoy a reputation according to their deserts. And he always acted conformably to the institutions of his country without showing any affectation of doing so. Further, he was not fond of change nor unsteady, but he loved to stay in the same places and to employ himself about the same things. And after his migraine attacks, he came immediately fresh and vigorous to his usual occupations. He kept very few secrets, and these only about matters of state, and he showed prudence and economy in the provision of public spectacles, the construction of public buildings, the distribution of donations to the people, and all such things, for he was a man who looked to what ought to be done, not to the reputation that might come with the doing of it. He did not take baths at unseasonable hours. He was not fond of building houses, nor fussy about what he ate, nor about the texture and colour of his clothes, nor about the beauty of his slaves. His dress came from Lorium, his villa on the coast, and from Lanuvium generally. We know how he behaved to the toll collector at Tusculum, who asked his pardon. And such was all his behaviour. There was in him nothing harsh, nor implacable, nor violent, nor, as one may say, anything he would get into a great sweat about. but he examined all things severally, as if he had abundance of time, and without confusion, mindfully, vigorously, and consistently. And that might be applied to him, which is recorded of Socrates, that he was able both to abstain from and to enjoy those things which many are too weak to abstain from and cannot enjoy without excess, but to be strong enough both to bear the one and to be sober in the other is the mark of a man who has a perfect and invincible soul, equal to that shown by Maximus in his illness.